The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre. My parents are so excited that I'm back on PTI with you, Tony.
Tony Kornheiser, they're just saying that. I'm a parent, I know this. They're still hoping you'll go to med school or law school or something. Get off television. They don't care about PTI. They don't.
I hate that you're right. I hate that I could still theoretically take the MCAT. I hate that I took the LSAT twice. I tried, it didn't work out. You're stuck with me, Mom. This is who I am.
Don't worry about this. I got kids this age, too. They get over it in a while. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Wilbon couldn't make it past Wednesday, so I'm pleased to welcome back our great friend, the host of the ESPN Daily podcast, my grandson, Mr. Pablo Torre. Big cheer. And we begin today. All right, enough cheers. Enough. Stop. Cool out, as Mick Jagger once said. We begin today with the Knicks in total free fall. Last night, for the third time in 11 days, the Knicks blew a 20-point lead. This one was at home in Madison Square Garden to the Nets without Durant, Kyrie, or Simmons. Ugh. This one was 28 points. The Knicks are 3-13 in their last 16. They're in 12th place in the East. Pablo, you live in New York. Should Coach Tom Thibodeau be in trouble?
Tony, how could he not be? Speaking of childhood traumas, right? Like, this feels like a new low for the Knicks, which is stunning to say about a team that for most of my life has lived somewhere beneath the Earth's crust. This was a total punch to the groin. This was Kevin Durant in street clothes, eminent domaining the garden. And if Tom Thibodeau is not in trouble, what are we even doing here? I get, Tony, that Tom Thibodeau only knows one speed. He plays and coaches like there is no tomorrow. Unfortunately, because this team is terrible, we need to be thinking about tomorrow. And he keeps trying to do stuff right now.
Yeah, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. As somebody who grew up when the Knicks were great and followed them for many years, the Knicks stink, okay? This is who they are. Last year was the aberration when they made the playoffs but went out quickly. They're a terrible team. They're not going to make the playoffs this year, and I believe that will be the eighth time in the last 9 years that they don't make the playoffs. The last time I believe that they won a playoff series, they've won one since 2000. That's a long time ago. And Walt Frazier is walking in that door, but he's 76 years old and he's a broadcaster. You're 100% right about Tibbs, who Wilbon adores, Tibbs. He has one speed, fast. It's now, it's today. Just think about today. If you wake up today and you win today, that's all that matters. And let's look at this, because he has a very good track record early. In Chicago, his first year, he won 62 games. He went to the Eastern Conference Finals, but then 50, 45, 48, and 50 as it receded. First year in Minnesota, not much, 31, but then a big jump to 47, and then the receding, 19, 21, and fired. Now he won 41 last year, and this year he's not going to do that. And since getting to that Eastern Conference Finals, this is why I have a legal pad, Pablo, Thibodeau's teams are 9-14 in the playoffs, and they have won one series. And the reason they don't win is because they're tired. They're tired.
No. The fourth quarter is a routine humiliation. That's the saddest part. This was not atypical. Sometimes you might want to throw some, you know, young guys in there. Hey, you have Cam Reddish. That's a first rounder. Hey, you have Obi Toppin. That's a lottery pick. He doesn't want to use them because the only tense that matters to him is the present, Tony. The last thing I'll throw at you, though, is that the guy who hired him is Leon Rose, a former agent who now runs the Knicks. You know how many times Leon Rose has spoken in the last 570 days? Once. He spoke on September 21st, and it has been dead silence otherwise, and that is absolutely indefensible to me.
Tom Thibodeau burns his players out. Billy Martin did this with his starters on the pitching staff. They'd have a great record for 1 year, and there would be a trail of broken arms after that. That's what happened.
A trail of snapped ligaments at this rate, Tony. But we've had a full day of drama at the Winter Olympics, and the big story this morning was gold medal favorite Kamila Valieva falling twice during the free skate and finishing fourth. That followed Michaela Schifrin's failure to complete the slalom portion of the combined, a traditional strength of hers. And then there was Canada beating Team USA for the gold in women's ice hockey, all of which happened today again. So, Tony, where do you want to start with this?
Well, I'm going to start with the hockey because I had that one right yesterday on this show. This is the fourth time in six finals that Canada has beaten the United States for the gold medal. And they beat them twice in this particular tournament. They were 2-0 against them in this particular tournament. Now, let me move on to something that I think is weightier, and that is Michaela Schifrin.
Yeah.
Michaela Schifrin, what is the phrase, to ski out? She did not finish the better part of the combined for her, the slalom. She's been in five races. She's only finished two. She has no medals. And she walked into this Olympiad as, you know, the greatest World Cup skier ever, or one of, certainly one of. Okay. I have enormous sympathy for her circumstance. She goes out there every day. She talks about how bad she's done. She uses the word failure all the time. Michaela Schifrin, you know what? When the bell rings, she's out there trying. Time after time after time, she is out there trying. I admire that.
Yeah, Tony, look, I watch Michaela Schifrin, and I think there is actually inspiration in all that failure. I see how she speaks post-event. I see how she goes on social media and acknowledges all of this. There's a story we can spin into something like motivation. But I watch Kamila Valieva, and I think to myself, she should not be in this competition at all. And the whole story, of course, about her testing positive and her being basically a subject to a larger corrupt regime in Russia, which can't even compete as Russia because of said regime, that doesn't feel like to me something that can ever be motivational. It feels like a car crash I shouldn't be watching. It makes me feel uncomfortable in ways, and I wish I didn't have to see it, to be honest. I feel morally compromised in a way that I can actually sort of spin into something nice with Michaela Schifrin.
So she's 15 years old. She's in the middle of this storm of controversy as to whether or not she should be skating. And the moment was too big for her, and it would be too big for anyone. Of course
Any
it would
of
be
us.
Too big for anyone. You know, I hope she's, you know, I think about Schifrin, and I wonder if she will ever compete again on this kind of stage. I certainly hope Valieva does, and I certainly hope she wins, you know, but this, in this particular case, she
At
should
15.
Not have been competing because of that positive test. If you cannot have rules if there's never any punishment when people break the rules. And the Russians have been doing this forever. And if they don't take
games.
These things willingly, trainers give it to them, is my opinion. So it doesn't, it's very sad. Very sad
yes.
to fall, very sad. We move on. Phil Mickelson told author Alan Shipnuck in the book Phil, which is an unauthorized biography, that while he has dallied with the Saudi Golf League, he specifically called the Saudis, quote, scary bleeper bleepers, unquote. And believe me, he didn't use those words. And said they have killed people. Mickelson seems to be trying to use the Saudi money as leverage against the PGA Tour, which he says, quote, has been able to get by with manipulative, coercive, strong-arm tactics because we, the players, have no recourse, unquote. Pablo, if anything ever calls for geopolitical analysis, this does. Go.
Yeah, look, I read these quotes and I was stunned because I don't think you can realistically provoke sympathy for a figurative, repressive government by partnering with a literal one, Tony. The quotes here are insane. He acknowledges very explicitly what the Saudi government has done. And he says, after all of it, but this is our only chance to reshape the PGA? How can you expect a normal person who's not in the world of golf to hear and see any of this and think, this feels like a good, again, non-morally compromised idea?
So I like Phil Mickelson a lot. I really like him on TV. I think he's terrific. I'm not with him at all on this for the reasons that you are articulating. There's got to be a moral ground that somebody stands on. If you say these people have killed people, that makes that blood money. I'm sorry, you can't take it. Phil Mickelson, I guess he sort of sees himself, you know, as this rogue character, you know, the Pied Piper somehow of golf, and he's going to lead all the other golfers in a certain place. But what happens, Pablo, is you have to worry. When you're a public figure, you have to worry, is there something you've done or something you've said that will turn the rest of the people against you? As what happened with Aaron Rodgers this year. And this is sure. a legitimate worry. You cannot just talk about murders and then just justify it with money.
Yeah, Tony, is this an opinion that others have in golf? You're a golf guy, I am not. I understand the PGA is allegedly leaving money on the table. Phil Mickelson talks about how they're losing billions and millions in NFTs and modernizing the economy. Is this really the last resort? You got to go overseas in this way and take blood money, as you've now put it?
Yeah, I don't know that you have to, but that's apparently available. Shipnook, by the way, says, he tweeted out today that they've reached what is their critical mass, the Saudi Golf League. They got 20 players signed up, and they're apparently going to announce this the week of the Players' Championship. Now, people need to understand or don't know golf. That's the number one thing for the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour is not involved in the majors. This is their big one. If the Saudis announce it then, that is a deliberate attempt to embarrass the PGA Tour, to raid the PGA Tour, to kill the PGA Tour. And so the PGA is going to have to open up this hordes of money that Phil talks about to satisfy the players. They're going to have to do it.
Ugh.
It's really, it's a lot of stories today that are not seemly, actually. Let's take a break. Coming up, how should LeBron and the Lakers feel after beating the Jazz but losing Anthony Davis?
And was Juan Soto right, Tony, to reportedly reject a $350 million offer?
See, that goes to my heart, because Juan Soto is a Nat. I'm a Nat
That's your
fan.
Boy.
Yeah. It doesn't look like he's going to be my boy for the rest of time. Looks like he's going to go.
At these prices, apparently not, no.
Yeah. Pardon the Interruption is brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
It's time to fanboy Pablo's vocabulary, and what's the word? What's first?
After Anthony Davis's injury last night, the Lakers should feel blank.
They should feel used to it, okay? Because he gets hurt all the time. He is made of glass. His bones don't break like your car windshield. They just shatter. His initials shouldn't be AD. They should be IR. Wait, he's killing it. Let him keep going. Charles Barkley actually calls him street clothes. And now I'm going to get into a particular statistic here. In the last 130 games, Davis has missed 56. Look, this doesn't mean the Lakers can't win, because he'll come back and then he'll go out again. But they have to play as if he's not a part of the team. And this is an interesting statistic, Pablo. Wilbon hates statistics, but you don't. In the last 2 years, the Lakers are 36-38 with Davis and 28-28 without him. So it doesn't matter if he's there. Sometimes they're actually better without him.
Tony, but they need him to win this title, and they're not going to win this title, which is it's why my word is they should feel euthanasic. It's over. This injury has been a mercy killing. Just give up. And we know LeBron James has been gesturing in this direction even before the injury. Tony, LeBron proposed that they celebrate the 2020 bubble NBA title alongside the Rams. Why do you think he wanted them to do that? It's because they know they have no shot, even with Anthony Davis, because the third leg of this tripod, to extend another tortured metaphor here, is Russell Westbrook. You need a third guy if one of your guys is Anthony Davis. So yeah, it's over, it's done. Try looking towards another lifetime now, please, finally.
This is why Wilbon always talks about LeBron going to Cleveland next year. Just getting out.
Ooh.
Just getting out. What's next?
Ooh. Juan Soto is blank for rejecting a 13-year, $350 million offer from the Washington Nationals.
He's appropriate. This was an easy one to reject. 4 years ago, the Nats offered Bryce Harper a big deal that he rejected and left. This deal, while it is more money overall, it is less money per year than they offered Bryce Harper 4 years ago pre-runaway inflation. I don't, it's like they learned absolutely nothing, the Nats. Scott Boras represented Harper, and Scott Boras represents Juan Soto. If you're the Nats, what you have to do, you have to think, this is not our final offer. Where do we think this will land that's acceptable to everybody? Maybe in the $400 million range. And I'm sure they're okay with that. So make that the offer of four. Boras is going to reject it because he wants five.
Of course.
You make that the offer. You get the moral high ground with your fans. You say to your fans, we offered him more money per year than anybody else we've ever had. And the fans look at it and they go, wow, that's pretty good. They don't have that chance here because this is easy to reject.
This is why my word is hilarious, Tony. It's hilarious that the Nats thought that they could get away with this and no one would really notice, I guess. It's hilarious that this is an actual decision that is reasonable for Juan Soto. He might be a half a billion dollar player. This is hilariously unrelatable also. Just like the level of wealth, man. Like, Tony, as a fellow hilariously unrelatable rich person, like the idea that Juan Soto is just turning down $350 million is like when I discovered that you had a little house that was actually just another house that you had. That's just like a full-size house. That's just a thing, apparently.
You can't make this offer public. You can't allow this. You look bad. It's a team that I root for, and you look bad. And everyone should have a little house. That's the final word. Let's take one last break, but still to come, did Chris Paul deserve to get ejected for bumping into an official last night?
And how happy should Jim Harbaugh be about his new deal at Michigan?
He should be happy that he has a deal. Should be happy about that.
A big house as opposed to a little house, incidentally, in that Michigan way.
You need a little house as a buffer to other people's houses.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 59th birthday, Michael Jordan. Wilbon will tell you that Jordan is the greatest basketball player who ever lived, and you can certainly make that case. When Jordan got to the finals, he was automatic, 6 for 6. He's got the Triple Crown, the NCAA, the NBA, and the Olympic Championships. Now Jordan is a collector. He owns the Charlotte Hornets, he owns a NASCAR team, he owns the Grove 23 Golf Club in Florida, which I'm told is great. I imagine Jordan going through life with a shopping cart, pointing at things and saying, I'll take that. Nike should tithe to Jordan every year for all the shoes he has sold for them. Pablo, you were born in 1985, so you missed Jordan's NBA debut. But you grew up a Knicks fan, watching Jordan destroy your team and crush your dreams. I'm hoping you hate Jordan because honestly, I get so sick of Wilbon loving him. Last Dance, okay, I get it.
Tony, the sad part is that I wish I hated Jordan more. But like growing up in Manhattan was like watching your village getting raised by Superman. Like, it's weird to have that guy be a terrorist plaguing your childhood, but all I had was a weird mix of like regret and depression and like Stockholm syndrome for the guy who clearly was the best as much as we hated him.
He was great. Happy anniversary, Baron Davis. On this day 21 years ago, while with the Charlotte Hornets, Davis took the inbounds pass at the end of the third quarter and heaved an 89-foot three-pointer like a baseball pass and drilled it. It's the longest shot in NBA history. It broke a 24-year-old mark of 84 feet by Norm Van Leer in 1977. And it actually appears like a member of the Milwaukee Bucks is trying to defend Davis as he launches the shot. The shot is reminiscent of the shot the other night by the Wake Forest kid at the end of the Duke game. That shot hit the backboard and the rim before bouncing away. This one appears to go in clean. A basketball court is 94 feet long. If Steph Curry really wants to impress people with how far he shoots from, let him start practicing from 90 feet. Anyone can hit from midcourt.
It is a lost art, Tony, because the way NBA players do it now is they try to go for the full court shot only after the buzzer has sounded so they don't take a hit in their personal statistical performance. So, of course, leave it to the one guy, Baron Davis, who claims to have been abducted by aliens, let's remember, to be so bold as to actually jeopardize his statistics by going for it like that.
I didn't know that. Happy trails, oh, yeah. Chris Paul. The Suns' lead guard was tossed last night in the third quarter of the game. The Suns would eventually win over Houston. Paul got his right hand jammed as he was passing the ball and argued that he should have gotten a foul call. Paul argued so demonstrably and reportedly profanely that he got teed up. A few seconds later, he bumped referee JT Orr in what looked deliberate, and Orr teed him up again. That's two. See you around. After the game, teammate Devin Booker said Paul was fine and didn't think the injury would keep Paul out of Sunday's All-Star game. Paul is leading the NBA with 10.8 assists per game, and he is in the MVP conversation. Pablo, do you think Paul ought to be suspended for this?
So my selfish perspective in general is that I want to see the stars play more basketball, so I tend to be pretty harsh in terms of what it takes to suspend them. But look, man, I get it. Like, you're not supposed to touch the refs, right? Like, they're like a royal guard at Buckingham Palace. No touching. I get it. So if you break that rule, you get punished, but a suspension seems excessive, don't you think?
So then it would just be a fine? You'd be okay with a fine because that...
Yes.
Yeah, the body of the ref is inviolate. You can't do it. You just can't do it.
No, I get it.
So you'd say
no
fine,
touching.
Not suspension.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
The ref should wear patches that say no touching. Let's go to the big finish. DeMar DeRozan scored 35 or more on at least 50% shooting for the seventh straight game. It's an NBA record. Are you impressed?
How could you not be, Tony? The guy broke records set by Will Chamberlain, except he's not just dunking the basketball repeatedly. He is a mid-range specialist who is maybe as good a mid-range shooter as we can remember at this point. So yes, extraordinarily impressed. Meanwhile, Jim Harbaugh got a new deal from Michigan that'll make him a $7 million a year guy this year. Will that keep him from looking at the NFL again?
I don't think per se that will keep him from looking at the NFL again. I think what happened with the Vikings and the fact that they didn't want him and the fact that the Bears didn't want him, I think that will keep him from looking at the NFL again. This is his alma mater. He did great there this year. He's very good for college football. I think he's probably embarrassed about what happened this year. The Nuggets beat the Warriors on a three at the buzzer. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the Nuggets are better than we think. Nikola Jokic, better than we think, as usual. This is part of that story again. The Pistons, meanwhile, ended the Celtics' 9-game winning streak. Are you surprised by that?
Yeah. Just the other day, we were talking about how great the Celtics' win streak was, and the Pistons are not a good team. Now, Marcus Smart didn't play, and he's critical to that team. But yes, I am surprised. Last one, your Sixers at the Bucks tonight. Who you got?
I got the Bucks because it feels like one of those games where everybody who's about to lose shots to James Harden starts taking a lot of those shots because they know they're about to lose them.
We're out of time, and we will try to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Pablo Torre. Please check out ESPN Daily wherever you get good podcasts. And now here is SportsCenter.